so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
For God did not send his Son into the world to bring condemnation, but rather that through the receiving of him men might find true salvation
and have life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
He came into the world and he dwelt among his own, but his own they would not receive. But power to become the sons of God he gave to all who believed.
So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.
Well, hello everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night show about healing the brokenhearted. And I got a big mess starting. It's a little technical when you open YouTube and Facebook together. I messed up. Once you mess up, you can't redo it. So I'm sorry about that. I'll post it on Facebook later, so that people that are interested in it, I'll post the link to YouTube. Oh, it's got me upset. I got a little frazzled here, and calming down right now because I want it to work. It's there. Technologically, it's there to work. So I just got to calm down here. I got frazzled, and I can't start it too early. I have to start it like a minute before you're going to start the show. So there's no margin for error with this, and that's what happened. But we are going to go forward. I want to thank everybody that's here. I'm going to let me look over into the chat room here. Oh, we have some people in the chat room. That's nice. Okay. All right. So, hello everybody that's listening, and I guess watching too, because you can watch here in the YouTube is open, and I'm opened also in the Uber conference room. See, that's another thing. I've got actually three things going on at the same time. I have Uber conference room, I have the YouTube, and then YouTube conference room. Then I have Facebook and Facebook conference room. So I can't really look at the conference rooms while I'm teaching because I have the PowerPoint presentation in front of me, which blocks all the screens. So I can't really look until maybe towards the end of the show. And just to give you a little background of what's going on, you may notice, well, all right, so let me open with a word of prayer. And I'll begin the show. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray to be a blessing for everybody that's here. And I ask for your guidance to do the technology to get this open, Lord, on Facebook. It's very important. I want to be consistent on it. I want to have it open so people can follow. I don't know if Rue is here or not, but if she is, or maybe someone can post on Facebook to have the people go to YouTube. If you could post on my John McTernan, I can't do it now, but if you could go to John McTernan's Insights and post on it and give a link to my YouTube, I would really appreciate it, my YouTube page. That way, if people are coming expecting to hear about the brokenhearted, they can at least go to YouTube. So, Father, thank you for tonight, and guide me and lead me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I just want to give you a little background about the my ministry first. And I think it's very important. I've been thinking about this. Healing the brokenhearted is a very delicate ministry. It's one thing to preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. It's another thing to minister to the brokenhearted, because the brokenhearted, there are lots of people, I mean millions, and I have prayed with quite a few people that have broken hearts, and some of it is very deep, very wounding, and you have to be vulnerable to when it comes to praying for the brokenhearted, or at least if you want to be ministered to. The praying for it doesn't make you vulnerable, but if you feel that there's more of a ministry needed, that makes the people very vulnerable, because there's things that have happened that are embarrassing, shameful, painful. So I was thinking about it, if I'm presenting healing the brokenhearted. Now, again, my teaching is open to anyone. The prayer at the end, I'm going to be praying a generic prayer for the healing the brokenhearted. But if someone wanted more ministry than that, you know, like, who am I to be praying for the brokenhearted? Well, first of all, in the Bible, to do it, it doesn't require any of human degrees or anything like that. It just takes faith. But I am a chaplain, and I've ministered to all sorts of police and people in prison through the years. And I prayed with an enormous amount of people with broken hearts through the years. Now, I'm roughly thinking more than 1,000. The brochure is what you're looking at on the screen. That's been printed in many, many countries, many languages, in the millions now. It's gone throughout the world. It itself has won many to the Lord, including Muslims. So I just, some people maybe need a background, maybe to need to know my background. So that's why I'm laying this out. Everything is kept in confidence. There's nothing recorded. I don't charge anything at all. I wouldn't even think of doing it. I mean, the Lord led me into the ministry, and I just feel it's something that I do because it's so needed. So that's my background. I do have, like I say, I'm an ordained chaplain. I've authored books, spoke all over the country. So I don't know what people need to feel, maybe give them a little assurance of who I am. I've known the Lord as my Savior since 1974. I've never turned to the right or to the left. I followed him straight. And I've seen incredible results with healing, praying for people with healing the broken hearts. Last Sunday, I went to a very small home church here in the area where I live in Pennsylvania. They invited me to come. ended up praying for everybody in the church, everybody, including the pastor. It was amazing. I didn't even think of praying afterwards. So I spoke, and then I was kind of getting ready to leave, and the pastor came up and asked if I would pray for people. I said, yeah, sure. And then I don't know how long I spent. I probably spent 2 hours after the church service praying for everyone. And one woman in particular stands out, loved the Lord, really just had a broken heart. Just couldn't get any way out of the broken heart, find any way out. We prayed. Also, I found in ministering to her, there was a curse on her line of, I haven't really preached on this, but there was a curse of the Masonic Lodge. The Masonic Lodge generates a very powerful generational curse, and we prayed to break that. She instantly felt relief, and it passed on to her children, so we prayed to break that too. Those are things I do in the ministry. Their curses are real. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Hebrews 13:20-21 states that we have a blood covenant. It's called the blood of the everlasting covenant with Jesus Christ. And realizing they're under that blood covenant, praying under that blood covenant is what breaks any curses. You can see it. It runs sometimes grandfather, great-grandfather, grandfather, father, son, then that person's son into the grandchildren. Comes right down the line, and that must be broken. That's generational. It must be broken. And when we minister, I look for it, and I pray in Jesus' name to break it. I remember one woman we prayed for breaking a curse, and she said, as we finished praying, she said that this huge weight came off her chest. She said she felt it leave when we prayed to break the curse. So I'm just kind of sharing a little things here before I begin, just to let you know about this Healing the Brokenhearted ministry, because it is not preached, virtually not preached. I don't know of anyone doing what I'm doing. I'm not saying I'm the only one. I just don't know. I sat in church, in churches for 25 years, never heard one sermon about the Lord healing the brokenhearted. Never heard any testimony of a person being healed from a brokenhearted. Avid reader, read things, all sorts of things about the Lord, the scriptures, Bible, never came across anyone talking about the Lord healing the brokenhearted. It's right in Luke 4:18. The full ministry of Jesus Christ is found in Luke 14. Unfortunately, the modern translations have dropped, He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You'll see it in the King James in Luke 4:18. It's also found in Isaiah 61:1. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And there are so many of God's people busted up inside that their hearts need to be healed. Their hearts need to be healed. I feel like giving a little couple testimonies first, and then I'm going to go into some teaching. When the Lord healed me of a broken heart, which I didn't know I had, but I knew something was wrong. Inside, I felt there was like an emergency brake on. I felt like a vehicle going down the road with the emergency brake on. It was moving, there was power, but there was something holding back. And I'll show you in this study that is one symptom of a broken heart. A broken heart robs people of spiritual power. And then I had big ups and downs. Sometimes I was way up with the Lord, and then other times I would come crashing down. I wasn't steady for the most part. It was up and down, up and down. And I was working for the Lord. I had a ministry, Cops for Christ. That's where I became a chaplain, through Cops for Christ. Turned out to be quite a bit of a prison ministry. I was ministering to the police, but the doors opened up as through Cops for Christ, and I did quite a bit of prison ministry for years. But to get back to my walk with the Lord, I knew there was something wrong, and I constantly was crying out to the Lord, repenting of everything you could think of. And this is going on for a long time. And I would just, Lord, what is wrong? There's something wrong. What is wrong? It turns out I was listening to a Christian radio. I was driving the car, and there's a woman on it who was a psychologist. And I don't really pay much attention to them, but she was really good. And she was talking about the Lord healing the broken heart. And she's the only one that I ever heard talking about it. And she was explaining about children from divorced families. Every one of them have a broken heart. And then she went on to give studies about it and the effects of it and all. Now, my mother and father were divorced when I was very young. I don't even remember them ever being together. But I began to think, could I have a broken heart? It sounds ridiculous now, but at the time, I couldn't see it. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, if I have a broken heart, please reveal it and heal it. Well, like almost immediately, this tremendous feeling of loneliness came over me. And I see it in the Bible in Isaiah 61:2 as the spirit of heaviness. And that loneliness felt like it could kill me. That's how bad it was. And I would sometimes there'd be tears running out of my eyes, and I was crying, just crying out to the Lord, Lord, heal me of the loneliness, heal my broken heart, heal me. This went on for about 3 weeks or so, and then it left. I could feel it leaving. It just left me. And that began the process. There were some other things. There were some fears that had to come out and other things to be healed of a broken heart. But the big one was that loneliness. That was a heavy weight. And that took that feeling of the power drain off me, that I was being drained constantly of power. I used the example of going down the road and there's a car with the emergency brake on. But at the same time that the Lord healed me of loneliness and began the real healing process, He opened up the ministry to me. I almost immediately went into the ministry of healing the brokenhearted. And what would happen is I'd be in a group of people and I'd just look at someone and in my mind it was brokenhearted, pray, brokenhearted, pray. And I would go up to people. Say, excuse me, I said, but it was kind of a very odd thing to do, but I'd say, the Lord, I believe the Lord's telling me that you have a broken heart to pray for you. Everyone that I approached like that, every single one, yes, and they wanted prayer, and no one ever turned me down. They all wanted prayer. So that's how the ministry actually started. But when I was in a group of people, let's say there's 10 people, one of them, it was always like one, would be picked out, and I'd pray with that person. It was not like the whole group. It was always one. So I was in a prayer meeting led by Pastor Jeff. Now, Pastor Jeff has gone to be with the Lord, but there was a very good friend of his there, Paul, and they had been friends for 25 years. And I had met Paul once before. I really didn't know anything about him. But it turns out he was a Vietnam vet and is part with Vietnam, but his mind was really messed up. And he was under the care of the VA doctors. And we were praying in this prayer meeting. He was next to me, and he was incoherent. I could hear him praying. He was totally incoherent. So after the prayer meeting was over, I approached him, and I said, "Paul, I kind of heard you when you were praying, and I could sense that there was something wrong." And I said, "I'd like to pray with you." So Pastor Jeff came over, and he said to me, "We've prayed for 25 years for Paul to be set free, and he hasn't been set free. We don't know what it is, but we believe, you know, in eternity, the Lord will tell him." But Paul was sitting in a chair in front of me, and I was to the right, and Pastor Jeff was to the left. And I said, "No, let's pray for him now." So I started to pray, and I couldn't. And I said, "Paul, I can't pray for you. There's something wrong." I said, "There's something wrong." I said, "What is it, Paul?" And I said, "Paul, you have a broken heart. You have a broken heart." So I'm looking at him, and I said, "Do you know what broke your heart?" And he said to me, "Yes." Now, Paul at this point is in his mid-60s, because this was years back. And he'd been a Vietnam veteran, decorated Vietnam veteran. And he looked at me, because I was standing and he was sitting. So he looked up to me and he said, "Yes, when my mother was, when I was 11 years old, my mother rejected me." And Pastor Jeff was standing next to me and went, "What?" He said, "All these years we've been ministering to you and you have a broken heart? And your mother did it?" He said, "Is that why you don't have any relationship with your mother?" So this was the first time I brought it out about him having a broken heart. He immediately said, "Yes, his mother did it." I mean, it happened when his mother, he said, rejected him. So I said, "Paul, do you forgive your mother?" And he said, "Yes." And Pastor Jeff is like beside himself. "All these years, Paul, all these years, a broken heart." See, Pastor Jeff is a great, he's going to be with the Lord. He was a great man of God. But somehow we've all dropped the ball on healing the brokenhearted. Pastor Jeff never thought of bringing it up about Paul possibly having a broken heart. So I said, "Okay, Paul, let's pray." So we prayed, and I prayed and asked the Lord to heal his broken heart. And I forgot about it. And then, about sometime later, 2-3 months later, I was talking to Pastor Jeff, and it came back into my mind about Paul. And I said, "Pastor Jeff, how's Paul doing?" He said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you." He said, "After you prayed with him, he called his mother up, and he asked for forgiveness, and it's all restored." He said he went over to the house, and the relationship was all restored with his mother. Shortly after that, he went to the VA and told them he wanted to get off the drugs. He said they're taking him off the drugs. He said he's a new man. His mind is all cleared. He's a new man. It's amazing. It's a miracle. God has really worked in his life. Well, I didn't see Paul again because he wasn't in my circles. And then Pastor Jeff, about 3 years later, passed away. So I went to the funeral, and I knew Paul would be there. Now, by this point, Paul's about 70 years old, close to it, late 60s. I think he was about 70. And I saw him. I knew it was him, but I was looking at him, and I couldn't recognize him. I was like, he was different. He looked about 40 years old. He had this glow about him. So he walked by me. He didn't see me. He walked by me, and I went up to him, and I said, "Paul." He turned around. I said, "Paul, do you remember me?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "I remember you. You prayed for the healing of my broken heart." I said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, how are things going?" He said, "Wonderful." He goes, "I'm all restored with my mother. I've led her to the Lord. I've got a ministry now. God opened the door. I go to ministry. I go speaking in churches, and I said, I'd even do some street preaching." He said, "Everything is going wonderful with the Lord." And So I shook hands and I said, "Paul, that's wonderful." I shook his hand. That's wonderful. I from that date to this, I haven't seen him. I don't know if he's still alive, because he'd be about 80 years old now. But there is an effect of healing the broken heart. Here's a man that had a calling in his life to be a preacher. He prayed over for 25 years. No victory. The drugs that the VA hospital put him on, he was like kind of incoherent. All he needed was his heart healed and forgiveness. He had to forgive his mother, his heart healed, and he was a new man in the Lord. I was speaking in Fort Worth, Texas, I believe it was. No, it wasn't Fort Worth. It had to be Houston. And Pastor Dove was with me, the pastor that I work with in Israel. At that time, he was a pastor in Texas. He's Jewish. He's gone to Israel now. And we were having lunch. I was one of the speakers. He wasn't. And we're sitting at lunch, and a young woman, probably about 20. Now, again, I'm new in the ministry of healing the brokenhearted. She asked him if she could sit at the table with us. So he said, sure. So she sat down. She went, I guess, it was a buffet place. So she left to get the buffet food. So Pastor Dove says to me, I've been ministering to her. And he goes, there's something wrong. He goes, I don't know what it is. We've prayed everything you could think of. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is. So she came back and she sat down and we started to talk, and I'm looking at her, and all of a sudden, brokenhearted came into my mind. Pray. So I said, excuse me. I said, but I believe the Lord's speaking to me about you and she's telling me that you've got a broken heart and I've got to pray for you about it. So she looked at me kind of like stunned. And I didn't know what she was going to say, because she held back. And then she looked at me and she goes, yes, my heart is broken. It's broken really bad. And I said, all right, we're going to pray. So I started to talk to her. And she said, I don't want to talk to you about praying, about what broke my heart. She said, would you just pray for it? And I said, sure. So I prayed. I don't know exactly what I prayed, but I prayed for her. And when I finished praying, I looked up and I was looking at her and I said, well, how are you? And she got big-eyed. She was looking at me. She got big-eyed and she said, that's it. That's it. I'm healed inside. I'm healed inside. And she stood up and the food is right. She had come back with the food. It's right in front of her. She stood up and she was looking at me. And then she was looking at Pastor Dove, and she said, that's it. I'm healed. And boom, she bolted out of the restaurant. She went right out. She left the food on the table. I don't know where she went. She never came back. So that opened up Pastor Dove's eyes to the healing the brokenhearted, and he preaches that now. That's part of his ministry. He saw it because he was ministering to her and couldn't get any place. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. I mean, right now, if it happened, I would approach her really without a word of knowledge from the Lord and present the healing the brokenhearted. Back then, when I was just getting started, the Lord would tell me. I would hear it inside. I would hear, brokenhearted, pray. No, brokenhearted, pray. Boy, out the cafeteria she went, and I don't know, never saw her again. So he was astonished. Pastor Dove was astonished, because all the time he had spent with her trying to free her inside, and there it was. It was a broken heart that she had to be healed of. And then when I spoke, I felt at the end speaking, I should give a call to pray for the brokenhearted. And I did. And I think it was the second church I did it, there was always a line of people, always. Many people in the church needed, you know, healings from this. So a woman came forward. She was kind of heavy. She was a heavy woman, and she walked with a She had a cane, and she walked kind of with a, it's not exactly a limp, there was more something wrong with her hip, and she kind of twisted back and forth when she walked. So she sat down next to me, and we started to talk, and she was like shaking inside. You could, not inside, you could see her shaking, and her voice was quivering. And so to make a long story short, here's what happened. When she was 10 years old, she was molested by her older sister's husband. And she said, I'm full of fear. She goes, they try and put me on drugs all my life. She said, I've been full of fear. I can't sleep. It's affected my health. It's affected everything in my life. I went for this training or this ministry and that ministry. I prayed over. I went to Christian retreats, and they tried everything. And she said, I just can't get free. I just can't. She said, would you pray over me? And so I asked if she would forgive the man that molested her. And she said, no. I said, well, I can't minister to you until you forgive. So I ended up praying for her a prayer of forgiveness, which she accepted. She said, I accept that prayer. She said, you know, you interceded for me. Thank you. So I prayed for the healing of a broken heart, and I saw the fear that was on her. So I asked the Lord to heal her heart of fear, but it actually went into terror. It was like every minute of the day, she was in terror. And this is like, she's about 40 years old now. And that, imagine living a life like that. And she went for every treatment you could think of. So I had my head down, like she was to my right, and I had my head down. I had my eyes closed, and I was praying for her. And all of a sudden, I prayed for the healing of her heart and that the Lord heal her heart of fear. And I rebuke fear, the spirit of fear, to have our heart cleansed of fear. And all of a sudden, I felt this shaking, which kind of caused me to look up and open my eyes. And here she had gotten up out of the chair, and she was in front of me with the cane. And she was dancing. And she had her hands up, one hand up, and the other hand on the cane. And she was, like, dancing in front of me. I'm free. She's going, I'm free. It left. It's all gone. She said, the terror is all gone. The fear is all gone. She said, I'm free inside. I'm free. And she kept dancing all in front of me like that. Folks, there are so many people hurting like this. I could go on and on and on with stories like this. And this is why I started Wednesday night. Because for whatever reason, like Pastor Dove picks it up about healing the brokenhearted. Pastor Fred prays for the healing of the brokenhearted. I have people tell me that they with the testimony of the heart being healed, they went to the pastor and they broke brochures. Like the brochure, if you're looking, it's on the screen. Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. And they go to the church and they give a testimony. They'll stand up and give a testimony of the heart being healed. They'll have the brochure. The pastor wants nothing to do with it. Nothing. There is no one that ever told me, and I'm really thinking now, thinking hard, that they went to their pastor about healing the brokenhearted. They wanted the pastor to, you know, pick it up and distribute the brochures maybe in the church. No one ever came to me and said that it was successful, that the pastor picked it up, and now he's praying for the healing of the brokenhearted. It's the converse. The people come, when I get feedback, they're dead to it. The pastors don't respond to it. Nothing happens. So I have seen with my own eyes the results of this, the healing that people have gone through, and the result, what's happened in their life. I see what's going on worldwide, how thousands, and we figure at least 15,000 Muslims, like in Kenya, have come to the Lord that we know of, but we know there's many more. through preaching that Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. Imams have come. Whole Muslim families have come. Imams are now evangelists preaching the word with Pastor Zephaniah in Kenya, working with Bishop Reinhardt and Pastor David in India. Thousands and thousands and unknown numbers of Hindus have come to the Lord. Mostly, they minister mostly to Hindus in India. Huge numbers. Right now, a request came in from India. One church wants 100,000 brochures. 100,000. In fact, I'll show you. I don't have it right now set up, but I will get it for next time. I have pictures of Pastor David in India printing 500,000 brochures. He's got them stacked up and laid out on the church floor, and he's got them stacked up in the printing area. They're about waist high and about, I don't know, 20 feet long of the brochures. In India, they're just the word going out, healing the broken heart. They can't get it out. They can't get the brochures out fast enough. Bishop Reinhardt goes to Sri Lanka off the coast of India where they're Buddhists. I didn't know that, but it's primarily Buddhist in Sri Lanka. And so many Buddhists are coming to the Lord through the Healing the Brokenhearted ministry that the churches, now I'm sure they're small, they're overflowing, and they had to start all sorts of home churches there. And they're asking them to come back. They want him back. He's gone there several times. And he brings like 100,000 brochures with him every time he goes to Sri Lanka. They're begging for the brochures. And the Healing the Brokenhearted is having a huge move amongst the Buddhists. And then I've seen the results of, I prayed when I pray live over Skype. With my own eyes, I've seen hundreds of Muslims come to the Lord that I preached through Healing the Brokenhearted. Pastor Jamil, the same thing. Pastor Jamil has led imams to the Lord, one significant imam in his area to the Lord. The Muslims got saved and they want to get baptized right away, and that's really unusual to get publicly baptized like that. That's putting yourself in real danger, like in Pakistan. People just crying that their hearts were set free, and we've seen a lot of physical miracles in especially Pakistan, a lot of them associated with this preaching. So I've seen the impact of it. I've given you a couple personal examples of what's happened, and I can't, for the life of me, I don't understand. Now, they're preaching the Healing the Brokenhearted in Kenya. They're preaching it in Uganda. The pastors are preaching it now in Nigeria. I'll tell you where the ministry is. South Sudan, which is terrible there with the fighting and the Muslims killing so many of the Christians, in Uganda, in Tanzania, in Rwanda, in the Congo, Malawi, they are preaching it. And they're seeing incredible results. And except for Pastor Dove and Pastor Fred, they're the only ones that I know that have picked it up here in America. And that's why I started Wednesday night with the night for Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. If you take Pastor Paul, Brother Paul, look at the power that was lost in the church by him absolutely just bound up with a broken heart, and he was useless. He had salvation, and he wanted to work for the Lord, but he couldn't. He was useless like that. As soon as his heart was healed, he's out preaching. That woman that suffered for 30 years with the... she was living in terror, couldn't sleep at night. Her health was deteriorating rapidly. And now she's dancing. For the Lord set her free, and she's dancing. And who knows what she went on to. Maybe just with her family, you know, with being set free and bringing the healing, the brokenhearted message to the members of her family. Maybe that won a whole bunch of her family to the Lord. So the church is being drained of such power because so many people in it are sitting there busted up inside with a broken heart, and they're drained of power, especially with fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So people are being drained of power and love because of the spirit of fear operating them, and they don't have a sound mind. Fear wants to rule your life. Fear will cause you to do things you don't want to do, and it'll prevent you from doing things that you want to do. It fear would prevent you from being a witness to the Lord. People can want to be a witness for the Lord, but they're bound up with fear and they can't. So that's what I wanted to share tonight. I can't do anything about the pastors that won't preach the full ministry of Jesus Christ. In fact, let me show you the full ministry of Jesus Christ. That's that picture you're seeing. That's me and my dad. But let me show you. Excuse me. Okay. Here is the full ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, there's actually a little bit more to it in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. But here's Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Semicolon. So a semicolon, what's following, is directly connected to what preceded it. It's a thought. The semicolons represent complete thoughts. So the first complete thought was that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to the poor. And that's the gospel, that he's going to die on the cross, shed his blood, and pay the price for reconcile us to God and pay the price for sin. Semicolon. He hath sent me. That's the Spirit of the Lord. It's upon Jesus, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Okay, comma. So he sent me to heal the brokenhearted is directly connected to preach the gospel to the poor. And it's amazing, but it's like of equal importance. So the Spirit of the Lord sent Jesus with the same importance to heal the brokenhearted as he did to preach the gospel of salvation and eternal life. Folks, God doesn't want us busted up inside. He wants us free inside. So now here is a complete thought. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, comma, to preach deliverance to the captives, comma, and recovering of sight to the blind, comma, to set at liberty them that are bruised, comma, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, period. That's all one thought. We stop in our thinking with he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, period. There's much more to it. So I believe the blood covenant that God made with us on the cross is right there in Luke 4:18. It includes he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. What we're doing today is we're preaching deliverance to the captives of alcohol and drugs and whatever addiction you could think of and bondage. So the ministries are focusing on the symptom and not the cause. The cause is a broken heart. And that's why the vast majority of the people need deliverance because of a broken heart has led them into alcohol. It's led them into drugs, legal or illegal. It's causing them to suffer from anxiety, panic attacks. It's causing them to be very depressed, maybe suicidal. It's all of the heart. So we're dancing around it and going to the symptoms. And I'm just tossing this out, and you're going to hear me now and then say this. Can anyone give me an explanation why the church, the pastors in particular, are not preaching he sent me to heal the brokenhearted? Now, I know it's out of the modern translations, so that's a big problem. If it's not there, it's a real big problem. Again, it's in the King James. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. It mystifies me. I shake my head. I never heard it. I never heard it for 25 years. I sat in church with a broken heart, came to the Lord, had a broken heart, Never heard one sermon on it. Not one. Never heard anything in Sunday school about it. Never heard anybody stand up and give a testimony about it. It's like it didn't exist. And we're still ignoring it to this day. The drug epidemic out there with opioids and all, the vast majority of it is self-medication. These people are dealing with broken hearts. They're broken-hearted. That's the root of it, the symptom of the drugs. They're self-medicating. And it says, and the scripture says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, the word bruised means crushed. It's not like a little bruise on your arm. It means to be crushed. And there are so many, life has crushed so many people. You know, like you can kind of maybe get through a brokenhearted, like I did, you know. But there are people that have been absolutely crushed by this life. They're bruised, but again, the word is crushed. And they've been bruised or crushed by Satan. All sorts of things have come on people. So what does the Lord wants to do? He wants to set at liberty them that are crushed by this life, by crushed by, you know, satanic forces. He doesn't want us to live a crushed life. He doesn't want us to live in bondage. He doesn't want us to live in brokenhearted. That's his will, folks. That is the will. It says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach. And then it says, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So I'm adamant about every Wednesday night doing this. It's such a foreign concept to many people about the Lord healing the broken heart. So I want to do teaching because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'd like the word to go out that every Wednesday night, you know, you could come to YouTube and I messed up tonight with Facebook. It's my fault that I'm not live on Facebook. And people could invite people to come. At the end, I'm going to pray. I'll pray a generic prayer, leave it open for testimony. Anybody can give testimony about the Lord healing their broken heart. And if anybody wants, you know, some more additional prayer, I'll do that. But Wednesday night is going to be Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. And I would love for this to spread far and wide. I'd love for it. Because it's time, folks. It's time to get out of this psychology that's entered the church here in America, and it's passed itself off as Christian. And I'll be very careful in what I'm saying. I believe that many people are, or the vast majority are sincere. They have never been taught about the Lord healing the brokenhearted, and they've gone into psychology, 5 steps, 8 steps, 10 steps. There aren't enough steps, folks, to heal the brokenhearted. Only Jesus Christ, the great physician, can do it. Only him. There are no drugs that can miraculously heal a broken heart. It can sort of temper it and suppress it, but it can't heal it. Only the great physician can do it. And the church has somehow, this psychology has seeped in, passing itself off as Christian when it's not. And what I'm saying is kind of very, we'll say, ugly against psychology, which I believe it is. But I'm not condemning anyone because I think the people are doing this in good faith that are involved in it. That's all they know. They think it's the right thing to do to help people. So I'm not condemning them. It's just they're wrong. They're wrong. Let me read to you, sort of, we'll say, what Isaiah 61 says. Here it is. Now, in Luke 4:18, the Lord was quoting from Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and he sort of synopsized it, I guess is the best way to say it. But this is the full ministry of Jesus Christ as God's, as the Messiah of Israel, that is still in effect today. It hasn't changed. And I'll show you all the semicolons. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, semicolon, because the Lord hath anointed him to preach good tidings to the meek, semicolon. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. There you go. So what's following is directly connected to anointed the Lord to preach to the meek, good tidings to the meek. So directly connected with it is he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, comma, to proclaim liberty to the captives, comma, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, semicolon. So all one thought is he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. That's one thought, directly connected to preaching good tidings to the meek. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, semicolon, and to comfort all that mourn. Now, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord is now. This is Christ's first coming. And the day of the vengeance of our God is his second coming. To comfort all that mourn, semicolon. Now, God is really concerned about us mourning inside. He wants us healed of mourning. Now, mourning is, it's more than mourning. It's sorrow, bereavement, and it brings a spirit of heaviness. Mourning drains the life out of us. It steals joy. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, comma, beauty for ashes. That's Christ in us instead of a burnt up life of ashes. Now look at this, the oil of joy for mourning. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So mourning and sorrow and that wants to drain the life out of us. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Look at that, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That spirit of heaviness is loneliness is right in there. And that's that spirit of heaviness. And in Romans 8:15, it says, if you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, the spirit of heaviness, bondage, semicolon, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. See, this is the Lord's work, that he might be glorified, period. That whole thing that I read to you is all one thought. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. It has to be the cross and his shed blood, paying the price for sin. But directly connected with it, and as important to God, is he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to comfort all that mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the end result of this is that God may be glorified. But what a testimony we have. Well, the Lord delivered me of broken heart with this and that. Well, he's glorified by that. So this is the real ministry of Jesus Christ. This is not psychology. This is not because Christian psychology is not real Christian. It's using terms. But this is the ministry, Christian terms, like, but this is the ministry right here. And for some reason, the church will not touch. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And we've built cottage industries around this. Leaving out, he sent me to heal, to bind up the brokenhearted. There's all sorts of, all sorts of things of psychology and psychiatry and drugs and retreat places where people go to try and get free of bondage, being captives and in prison. And what it is they've left out. They're not touching. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So it's not, in the long run, it's not going to be successful. It can help, but can it cure a broken heart? Never. Only Jesus Christ can. Only if these ministries apply, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, then they're bona fide. Then they're bona fide. All right, I want to show you a couple more things, and then we're going to have prayer. Here's what I wanted to show you the Hebrew word and the Greek word for broken heart. And all of them, it's violence. Violence is connected with it. When our heart is broken, now I'm talking about spiritually violent. It's not necessarily physical violence that broke our heart, but inside in the spiritual realm, our heart, when it's broken, it's a violent act spiritually. So let's look at the Hebrew word. We'll look at 1:1. Break in or down. Now look at this. Rend violently. Wreck. Crush. Quench. That's where that, to set them that are bruised, that's crushed. Yeah. But look at that. Rend violently. 2. To break. Rupture. See? Let's look at 2b1. To be broken, be maimed, be crippled, be wrecked. Let's go below it. To be broken, to be crushed, to shatter. Now, see there, see, 2C, very important. To shatter, break. And E, to be broken, be shattered. Now we go over to the Greek, and the Greek word for broken means to break in pieces, shiver. See, it's not merely a little tear. It's like taking a bottle, a glass bottle, and holding it up over your head and slamming it down to the ground as hard as you can and having that glass break into shivers, you know, and rend it violently. And the glass is all over the place. That's the spiritual picture of a broken heart, a violent act. Tearing the heart into shivers. This opens it up to fear. This opens it up to, there's actually foundations of a broken heart. The rest are symptoms. But rejection. The heart is a broken heart. Rejection breaks a heart. Fear. Shame. And loneliness. Whatever happens to a person, it's usually in their youth when they're young. Family life, things like that, will bring shame, and shame takes root and it will rule a person's life, and it's from a broken heart. Rejection. Almost everyone with a broken heart, well, everyone that I have ministered to, is full of rejection. They have to be healed of that. Fear. All of that brings fear. And then loneliness. People can feel lonely in a crowd. People can feel lonely in a marriage. That's all that feeling lonely is all a sign of a broken heart. Now, let's go over to the Greek word again and go down to part 3. To tear one's body. Now, look at this, the second part. And shatter one's strength. That was me. I constantly found that drain that inside me, that like spiritual drain, because of the broken heart, it was draining me of strength, always. I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel that drain anymore. It's gone. I'm stabilized inside when the Lord healed my broken heart. But I did. It was a constant. It was like fighting hurricane-type wind inside me. It was like the best way to explain it is driving on the interstate at 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour with the emergency brake on. You got speed, you got power, but something's wrong. Something's holding back. Something's like draining that power, holding that power back. That was my life. It's all gone now. I'm stabilized with that. Of those big ups and downs that I had spiritually, that's all stopped. It's an even keel now. It's like just a steady upward movement rather than those big like wave swings, you know, big highs and then crashing and big highs and crashing. It's all gone. That's all gone. I've stabilized inside. And it's all to the Lord. It's all through the Lord healing my broken heart. Now, this is the picture on the left here is a shattered heart. See, it's in all those little pieces and fragments. That's an artist's idea of it. But I want to show you that on the right, that's an X-ray of a fractured leg. And it's painful to look at, folks. When you look at that, those two bones fractured like that, you could see the like shiver in it and how jagged it is. And that broken bone is a picture of spiritually what our heart looks like. And you could see the pain that would cause. So imagine if that happened to a youngster at 8 years old, and now the person's 30 years old, and they walk, but in tremendous pain. They can't run when everybody else can. They can't jump. They just can't function right because of the way those bones look. I don't even know if they could ever walk, but we'll just assume they can. They're going to be in pain for the rest of their life because of that. So let's look. It's why it's healed now. Okay, there's the healed heart put all back together on the left. Now notice on the right. And remember in Isaiah 61:1, it says, He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Binding up and healing is the same. So we see that plate running along the bone. I guess you call that like a steel, stainless steel rod. And then you'll see those screws going through, and they're called, I think they're titanium screws. And notice there's four on top and there's four on the bottom. And in between, there's a space there, probably 2-inch space. And if you look at it, I don't know how it shows up in your screen, but there are two like dark areas. Those are the cracks where the fractured leg is put back together. And it's being bound up. That stainless steel bar and those eight titanium screws are holding that shattered bone back together. And that's exactly, that's a picture spiritually of what the Holy Spirit does. On the direction of the great physician, Jesus Christ, he puts all that shattered heart back together and he binds it up. Just like that's bound up, and you can view it bound up with a cast because they probably put a cast over that. And the Holy Spirit binds up and puts our heart back together and holds it under his power. So that's a physical picture of what's going on spiritually. And you could see in that shattered leg that you could do anything you want to try and take that pain away from that leg. But until that physician puts that leg back together and binds it up, nothing's going to work. And that's what people are doing today. You know, there's no 5 steps, 10 steps to heal a shattered leg. Like that, a fractured leg. It takes a physician that knows what he's doing, has the expertise to put that stainless steel bar there with the titanium screws to bind that fracture up so it can be healed. There are no drugs that will heal that. There's no anything. It takes a physician to do it, and that's the same in the spiritual realm. Only the great physician can put those shattered bones back together. And I'll close with this. I'll run it down real quickly. The causes of a broken heart: divorce, devastating to children and adults, devastating to children. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, any age. Hatred, wrath, death. Especially for women who have abortions, it can just tear their heart apart, and the Lord's ready to heal it. War. The results of this is the the foundation now of a broken heart, rejection. Fear and unbelief go together, loneliness, shame. And a spinoff on that is sexual problems are connected with the causes of a broken heart and drugs and alcohol. Those are the results. So with that, if you're following me there on YouTube, that's the drug problem in America. Pretty graphic there. And in prayer, what we need for it to be effective in your life, to have a broken heart healed, is forgiveness. No matter what was done to you, you must forgive, otherwise your heart cannot be healed. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Actually, being nailed to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God forgives us of every single sin we've ever committed. And he expects us to forgive. And it can be tough. If you feel that it's like impossible for you to forgive, if you contact me, I'll show you here. Whoops. There's my contact information at mct911@aol.com. We can arrange a session, and there have not been many people that I've had to do this for, but there are numbers I've had to intercede for forgiveness. They couldn't do it themselves, but when I interceded for them, they agreed in prayer that they forgave and we could move on. In all the people I've ministered to, there's only been one that refused to forgive an ex-husband, and I had to stop the prayer. I said, I can't go forward. She was kind of shocked and upset, but she would not forgive, so therefore I could not go forward. But if anybody feels that they need intercession for forgiveness, please contact me, and in the subject put prayer, and we can arrange session, and we'll do that. We'll intercede, and then we'll go forward for the healing of the broken heart. So, with that, let me see here. Let's go to prayer. And like I said, I will pray a generic prayer, and then we'll pray a generic prayer. And excuse me. And then if anybody wants to give testimony, if you want to give testimony, you have to come into my conference room. And the number for that is 717-409-5553. What I'm going to do is I will put that on the screen. Now that won't work. I'm trying to get into the chat room, and it's working now. 1-7-4-0-9-5-5-5-3. Okay. All right. So I'm going to enter into prayer now. Father, we thank you for the full ministry of sending the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would all, Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we just saw your word where healing the broken heart is just as important to you, Lord, as saving our soul. And being delivered from bondage is incredibly important to you. It's all part of going along with healing the brokenhearted. And Lord, and to set at liberty them that are crushed, Lord, that are bruised or crushed. That's incredibly important to you. And Lord, we've dropped the ball. I don't know how it happened, but we've dropped the ball. And so many of your people are in bondage, Lord. I was. So many people are in bondage, Lord, and you want them free. So I'm praying now for everybody under the sound of my voice, Lord, that we're under the blood of the everlasting covenant, and we're going to ask that everyone, if anyone, I guess the best way to phrase it, if anyone is suffering from a broken heart now, Lord, that as we come before you, they will forgive who broke the heart, Lord. And some of it is real tough, Lord, really tough. But I'm asking that they would forgive, Lord, so that they could be healed. Lord, send your grace into our lives to forgive those who broke our hearts, Lord. Please, in Jesus' name. Lord, many of us have to forgive ourselves. We loathe ourselves. We hate ourselves, Lord. We despise ourselves. Lord, I pray we repent of that. You love us. You're our Abba Father. You love us. We can't hate ourselves. You're the Creator. You decree that you love us. So we have to accept that, Lord. And if you love us, how can we not, not be narcissists, but a healthy love for ourselves, Lord. I guess it would be an acceptance of ourselves. And Lord, if anybody has a grudge towards you, anger towards you, I pray that that would be reconciled right now so that they can be healed, Lord. And Lord, I ask anyone that's suffering from a generational curse, Lord, it might be the occult, it might be, Lord, and there's people, generational curses of alcoholism, Lord, sexual immorality, it gets passed down. It can be anger, Lord. We see people with great anger in them. So, Father, I pray, the Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Lord, we break all curses arrayed against us. Lord, any involvement in the occult, this could be by fathers and grandfathers, Lord, because the Bible says it gets passed for five generations. Lord, any involvement with the Masonic Lodge, we break it right now. We are under the blood of the everlasting covenant. We break it right now. Anything our grandfathers were doing, our fathers were doing, no one could be mothers, grandmothers. We break it now. In Jesus' name, we're all free. We are under the blood of the everlasting covenant. It ends right now. Today, right now, it ends. And your people are free. Lord, I pray for anyone that's in bondage to a broken heart of rejection, that that would be healed right now. That you would minister to us. From rejection is a powerful force. We were not created to be rejected. We were created to be loved. Rejection breaks the heart in a very serious way. And it's actually the foundation of a broken heart. Heal us, Lord, of rejection. You don't reject us. You, according to the scriptures, are our Abba Father, our Daddy. You don't reject us. So I'm praying, Lord, all the wounds. You're the great physician. It says in your word, Lord, that a new heart will I put within you and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Lord, as the great physician, take all the stoniness out of our hearts, Lord. Take it out. Heal us, Lord. Heal us. Give us a heart of flesh. Flesh is alive to you. Flesh has feelings, Lord. Stone is dead. It's dead, Lord. Take the stony heart out of us as our great physician, Lord, and give us a heart of flesh. Take the stoniness out of rejection, Lord. Lord, take the stoniness out of shame. Lord, heal us of shame. There's no shame before you, Lord. Everything is healed. Everything's forgiven. Heal us, Lord, all of us, of shame. Lord, heal us of loneliness. Heal our broken hearts of loneliness. Lord, it's powerful. It drains your power. It's a spirit of heaviness, Lord. It drains your power out of us. Lord, with you, We've got the spirit of adoption. There's the remedy for loneliness, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, heal our hearts of loneliness and fill us with the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the remedy for a broken heart of loneliness, Lord. Lord, heal our heart of fear and unbelief, Lord. They go together. I've come to realize that fear and unbelief go together. So, Lord, I'm asking now that you, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For, Lord, our heart, fear can be lodged in it. It can rule our life, Lord, or attempt to rule our life. So in the name of Jesus, I ask that you mortify, you put to death the spirit of fear operating in our hearts, Lord, in our very being. Mortify, put to death, drain the power of the spirit of fear out of all of us, Lord. Crush it, destroy it, Lord. Rip it, tear it, whatever is needed to tear it out of our hearts, Lord, and fill us full of peace. Fill our hearts full of peace, Lord. Whether it was fear, give us peace, Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall assure your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Lord, fill our hearts full of your peace. So mortify the spirit of fear, so it's powerless, Lord. We render the spirit of fear powerless in our lives, in our hearts, Lord. Lord, mortify it by taking the vitality away. That it has no vitality. Something that is dead has no life, it has no power. Mortify fear, Lord, in us so there's no life. That thing was, spirit of fear was ready to spring into action at a moment's notice, Lord. No more. It's destroyed in Jesus' name. Our hearts are healed of fear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, I pray you mortify it, the spirit of fear, by taking the function away. It cannot function anymore. Something that has no power, no life, and can't function is dead. Destroy it in us, Lord, that we are free from fear. Completely, totally free from fear, Lord. And of course, unbelief goes together, Lord. Rip that unbelief out of us. Lord, heal our hearts of unbelief. The Bible calls it an evil heart. At one point, an evil heart of unbelief. We learned about that last night. Lord, take any unbelief out of us, Lord, all layers of it, and fill us, Lord, with faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, let your word grow mighty in us, not being blocked by unbelief, Lord, but let us all grow mighty in faith now, that you can use us. You may have called quite a few people into the sound of my voice to the ministry, Lord, or to be a one-on-one witness, and they can't because they've been unable because of a busted heart. Lord, loose your people now as their hearts are healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. So strip that fear right out of us, Lord. Every aspect of it, every ounce of it, Lord. Fear and unbelief destroyed. And now we're growing to be solid in your peace, Lord. We're growing to faith can be loosed in us. They can grow in us, and we can grow to be mighty in you through the word that's growing in us, no longer bound by fear and unbelief. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, rip that, destroy it, that spirit of fear, as I have asked, and loose your power and your love in our lives, Lord, and the combination of your power and your love, give us a sound mind. A sound mind. Lord, anybody that has been suffering from, affliction in their mind, from fear, we ask that it be healed now in Jesus' name. That there, our minds are now full of your power and full of your love, and therefore it's sound according to your word. Not under the control of fear and unbelief, but under the control of your power and your love, and we can think properly. We're not ruled by fear anymore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Pull that stronghold of fear down out of us, Lord. Out of us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing which exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, that as you healed our hearts of fear and unbelief, heal our minds of the stronghold of fear and unbelief. Mortify it now. Destroy that stronghold, Lord, in all of us. That fear, not one ounce of fear, Lord, can rule us. Not one ounce. It's gone. It's obliterated in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit mortifying it, putting to death, and release into our minds, Lord, peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall assure your heart and mind. There it is. There's the link. Heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So let the peace which is in our hearts flow into our minds, completely obliterating fear. Completely. Thank you, Lord. And with that, with your peace in our mind and fear gone, we're free to receive the fullness of your power, the fullness of your love, and therefore our mind is no longer in bondage, no longer in control of that stronghold of fear and unbelief. But we're under the control now of your power and your love, and we have a sound mind. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for everybody that came tonight, Lord. I ask your blessings in their life. And that everybody, again, we're asking, Lord, everybody under the sound of my voice, we're praying for a complete healing of a broken heart and to be set free of any bondage. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Now, tomorrow night, I have part two, and I go more into the mind because they go together. The healing the heart, the healing the mind go together. And it's just too much to teach the fullness of it at once. So if you can come in tomorrow night at the same time, and it will be, the teaching will be on strongholds, breaking strongholds in the mind. And also I want to teach a little on God as your Abba Father, because we can't receive the fullness of God as our Abba Father till our hearts are healed and strongholds are gone. And when that's healed, we are wide open now to embrace God as our Abba Father. But fear will block that, and rejection will block that, and shame will block it. So if you can, come in tomorrow night, same time. And if you miss tomorrow night, if you want to get tomorrow night's teaching, you can go to my Facebook page, and you'll see Healing the Broken Hearted Part 2. So, okay. Now, if there's anyone that wants some specific prayer, or I have time left, please call 717-409-5553. If you have a testimony and you want to give a testimony, now the testimony has to be kept too about the Lord healing the broken heart, setting you free of things. Same thing with the prayer. We got to keep that centered on if you need healing the heart, if you feel you need more healing the heart, or strongholds dealt with in your mind. So I'm looking over in the I've got people in the chat room here, but I don't know if they're just listening or I see people. I'm looking at the chat room now in Uber Conference. They're saying they didn't see me on Facebook. Tonight was my fault on Facebook. I had it all set up, and I deleted one of the links. There's a page you have to keep open with a link on it. I deleted that by mistake, and you can't get it back once you do that. So I messed up. That was my fault. And I want to get it regular on Facebook so people can regularly come. You know, if they come and it's not up, it's bad. So I got to work these things out. But last night was not my fault. Tonight it was. And I'll just open up the people that are here, and I'll ask you by area code, because there's no duplicate area codes, if you want testimony or prayer. So area code 208, do you need prayer, specific prayer? Or do you want to give testimony? You know, if not, that's fine. I just want to give you the opportunity. Okay. Area code 703. 703. Okay. Area code 406. Now, I know who that is. That's Rebecca. Yes, Rebecca.
Hi.
Yes.
Yes. I really enjoyed the teaching again tonight. And I would like to be prayed for, but I do have a question. Over the last week, the Lord has been revealing to me a little bit at a time. And like this morning, I really saw it pretty clearly that when I was a very young child, there was an elderly couple that did some things that were very bad towards me. And they're long gone. And tonight when you were talking about, you know, praying to forgive, and you were leading it, you know, you were praying and you were leading people to pray to forgive, you know, people in the past that have hurt them and, you know, broken their heart. I just wondered, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? You know, they're long gone. You know, they're not in this world. And I did pray to forgive them, but I have a little, you know, question of exactly how does that work?
Yeah. Even though the person is, like, let's say long passed away, you still forgive. Forgive.
Right.
You know, maybe if the person is alive, when they're alive, you may have to go and speak to them. I'm not saying that has to be done in every case. But even if people have passed away, yes, you still forgive them, Rebecca.
Well, I would, you know, appreciate being prayed for tonight because, you know, I have said this before, and it is true that the Lord has, from the time you first started, you first prayed for me, which has been a good while ago now, years, my heart being healed has been an ongoing process. And maybe that's partly because, you know, I have issues built into my life where there, unfortunately, are still situations that are very hurtful. But I am taking, you know, everything that you're teaching to heart. Monday night, you talked about people who are in situations like that living above those circumstances.
Yes, overcomers. Overcomers.
Yes, amen. So that's the prayer I reckon I need, is to be more and more of an overcomer. Amen.
All right, so you want specific prayer for that you can forgive with someone in the past?
Actually, I do forgive. I have a very forgiving nature. I do forgive. But, you know, I want specific prayer that the Lord will strengthen me to be an overcomer in every way that brokenheartedness has tried to affect my life. Amen?
Okay. All right. Father, We have Sister Rebecca before you, and Lord, she wants to be completely set free from the effects of the broken heart being crushed. Lord, she wants to be completely set free, the prison door open, and letting the captives free. So, Lord, if there's anything in her life, Lord, that's causing bondage, holding her back, we're asking now, that would fall under the spirit of bondage and to fear. We're asking that you would heal her of it, Lord. You would put it to death in her life. And Lord, that we ask that she would grow stronger in the spirit of adoption, whereby she cries, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption, that means we're growing closer to you as our Abba, Father. And as we grow closer to you, Lord, all these things of the world fall off, Lord. All fears and depression and anger and all of that, Lord, cannot exist in your presence. So I'm asking now that Rebecca grow closer to you as her Abba Father. And Lord, she mentioned about being an overcomer. Well, the way the Bible says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and love not their lives unto death. Well, she's an overcomer because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we overcome circumstances by your love. Your love takes us above it. So even though we might be in an atmosphere of hatred, your love takes us above, Lord, above the hatred. So I ask that you fill her. Lord, and I'm praying for, might as well pray for everybody. I'm praying directly to her, but Lord, I pray for everybody at the same time. Lord, including myself. Lord, that we are at a new level of your love, so like an eagle, we soar above it. Circumstances mightn't change, but we change with more of your love. And then, Lord, any type of fear, Lord, that's generated by circumstances, the Bible says, God, I've quoted it a couple times tonight, and my mind has just froze up. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall assure our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, take us to new levels of your peace with as our Abba Father, where fear cannot grip us. In your presence, in the presence of your peace as our Abba Father, there can be no fear, period. There can't be. And then, Lord, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Lord, take her above this, fill her with your joy so she's above circumstances so that she doesn't get debilitated by depression, Lord, stealing your joy out of us and weakening us, because in your presence is joy. So, Lord, have her grow in you as her Abba Father so that she's full of your joy and that can never be taken from her, never. And then, Lord, it says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love. So I'm asking, Lord, a great release into her life of more of your power, Lord, because in your presence with a healed heart and full of your love and peace and joy, you're free to give to us the full measure of your power. So that's what we ask for, Lord. And your power is going to keep her full of joy. Your power is going to keep her full of your peace. And your power is going to keep her full of your love. And I pray this for everybody, Lord, for everybody, that anyone who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is an overcomer. There is no matter how we feel inside, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we're an overcomer. It's a matter of growing into it. And here's what the scripture says. At 1 John 5:4, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh? There it is, the overcomers. The world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So there it is. Belief in Jesus as the Son of God means we're overcomers. And combined with that is they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So the faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and there's our testimony. And the word of our testimony is that Jesus is the Son of God. Right out of 1 John 5:5. And loves not their lives to death. Christ is the first in everything. We're victorious. So I pray that everyone, part of the ministry, everyone under the sound of my voice, are overcomers, and we walk as overcomers in victory in Christ. Thank you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, Rebecca?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, I have a tough question.
I'll be listening tomorrow night.
I have a question.
It's a very wonderful teaching.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you an overcomer?
I am.
Why?
Thank God. Hallelujah.
Why?
Because I believe in the saving, what Jesus has done to save us from our sins. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and because I have a testimony, and
right.
I...
Right. You believe what he did on the
speaking.
Cross.
Amen.
Amen. The blood of the Lamb.
The blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Okay, Rebecca. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have area code 630. Do you have a testimony, or do you want to pray, need prayer?
I would just like to pray.
Okay, what do you need prayer about?
I would just like to pray for I prayed with you a while ago, and my first name is Eva, and I really enjoy listening to people get set free, and I have got a lot of divine intervention from our Father God, and I just want to pray for continued restoration and being set free from anxieties and fears against our and strongholds, like you were talking about, against our minds, and just listening to your testimony before about when you were little, that your mom and dad, they were divorced, and it's just amazing. I'm 54, and I'm still learning, and I was born again since I was 16, and I'm still learning what it means to be God's child, and a lot of things that affect us in our adulthood, and how God gets us free because of Jesus, and how he heals the brokenhearted.
Okay, I'm just a little confused now. Do you want me to pray for you to be free from fear and anxiety, or did you say you wanted to pray?
I would like you to pray for just continued healing of any brokenness in me.
Okay.
Or my husband also, because his heart was broken quite a few times, but it's hard for him to admit it. So just for him and I, then.
Okay. And again, I think early on you mentioned fear, that you had some issues.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I just want to know what to focus on. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's Eva, right? I remember the name, but I don't remember what, I don't remember it for praying details, for praying with people. So let's pray, Eva. Father, we thank you for Sister Eva. We thank you, Lord, that you have begun a work in her for the healing of her broken heart. And she senses what you're doing, Lord. She feels what you're doing. And we're asking for a complete healing of her broken heart, Lord. That there'll be nothing left of a broken heart, but everything is healed. Now, Lord, the issue seems to be fear and like anxiety. So, Lord, your word says in Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall assure your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Did you hear that verse, Eva?
Yes.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall assure your heart and mind. See, the heart and mind's connected. So what you need is the peace of God there. That you need your heart completely healed of fear, and that peace then flows into your mind. And also, in 1 John, it says, perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So as you grow closer to God as your Abba Father, that means you grow in love and you grow in peace, and fear cannot exist. So what you're telling me is you got to mature.
Mm-hmm.
You got to mature in him and grow in him as your Abba Father. And in him as your Abba Father is no fear, none, no anxiety. It just disappears. So let's pray. Father, we're asking now in Jesus' name that you completely put to death in Eva's heart any fear, Lord, and unbelief. They go together, Lord. I've seen that. They go together. We mortify it in Jesus' name. We put it to death that it can't function in her anymore. Her heart is healed of it, and it's being filled with your peace, the peace of the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The peace that you are her Abba Father. It's not just putting this to death, but it's filling it, Lord, with your peace as her as your Abba Father. So, Lord, we mortify the power of this spirit of fear and unbelief. We mortify the vitality of it. We mortify the function of it, that it can no longer function in her life. It can no longer afflict her. It's dead. Something, she's dead to it. Something that's dead has no life. This is dead in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we rip the spirit of fear and anxiety right out of her, Lord. Put it to death by the power of the Holy Spirit that she's free. And Lord, we also ask that you fill our heart full of your love. The perfect love, Lord, that has no fear. Perfect love, Lord. That's what we're asking for, Lord. Perfect love and peace in her heart, and there'll be no fear and anxiety. Now, Lord, the Bible says, assure your hearts and mind. We go with our mind now, Lord, and we mortify. We put to death the stronghold of fear and unbelief in her mind. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. We pull this stronghold down by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That whatever the devil has constructed in her thinking process regarding fear and anxiety and unbelief, we completely destroy it in Jesus' name. The Bible says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We renew her mind, Lord. We all the hooks of fear in her mind, Lord, all the tentacles of it, everything, we rip out, we break it, we cast it down. The Bible says casting down imaginations. We cast them down in Jesus' name. And it says every high thing which exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This fear and unbelief would want to exalt itself and take the place of the Holy Spirit. We cast this down in Jesus' name. That she is completely free of fear. It can no longer function. Her heart is healed, and now her mind is free. All the strongholds are down, and that peace is going to rule her life, not fear. But the Holy Spirit, through peace, the peace of the Holy Spirit, is going to rule her life. We thank you, Lord. Lord, and I ask that her heart is so healed of fear and anxiety. Her mind is so healed, and her mind is renewed now. It's going to have a big impact on her husband. She lives above any stress with him. She's an overcomer. She is an overcomer by the scriptures that I shared already, and that her healed heart, she's going to be able to lead him, Lord, into having a healed heart, and there's going to be great healing and unity then in the marriage and in the family. Thank you for Eva, Lord, and she's, for this testimony that she's being completely set free from fear and anxiety. It cannot rule. But as an overcomer, what rules is your love and your peace. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jonathan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that verse is for you. That verse is for you, Eva, in Philippians 4. You'll see it there, Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall assure your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So that's the verse you want to kind of take to your being there and strive for it, that your relationship with Abba Father is so great that peace rules. Peace rules in your heart and mind, period. If when that happens, there can be no fear. Okay. Mm-hmm. God love you.
God loves you. Thank you so much, Pastor, in your ministry, in the phone, in the radio program. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you now.
Bye. Okay. Bless you. Bye.
I saved the best for last. Brother Vince.
Hey, John.
I'm sorry. We only got a couple minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on the road here. I called the number when my phone let me know you were broadcasting. So,
okay.
Listen, I need prayer, bro.
Okay.
You know about the situation with my previous employee in the truck?
Yeah. Right. Right.
You and I discussed it, that I prayed about it, and the Lord said to give it to him. Well, you know, this incident cost us a lot of money, a lot. $5,000-$6,000 at a bad time. And now he is coming back and saying we owe him a last paycheck. And, you know, there was a lot of destruction and stuff to the, he did a lot of damage to the truck. I think he just flipped out.
I got to cut you short because we're running out of time. Here's the question.
Yeah.
Can you forgive
him? I need you to pray about this. I have, but it's like he keeps coming back like a bad pimple.
Okay.
You know, it's like, and I just, you know, I just, I'd like peace from this. So I'd like to be free of it.
Okay.
Because it's just, you know, we're getting on with our lives. We're getting it back together here. And, you know, he's just like a demon that just doesn't want to let go.
Okay.
Let's
pray.
Go ahead.
Father, we pray now because of this incident. It's constantly tearing at Brother Vince. And, Lord, we're putting the shield of faith around him. And that protects him from all. These are like fiery darts for the wicked. And, Lord, it's trying to harden his heart against him, going into unbelief, into bitterness in his heart. So we're asking for his protection, that he's going to walk in forgiveness. We give this to you to be dealt with, Lord. We give it to you.
Yes, Lord.
And that give him peace in his mind. Lord, so many of us need peace. Peace is tremendous, Lord. And I'm asking that you give him great peace. No matter what this man does, he is not, this fiery dart is not going to penetrate into Brother Vince's heart and take his peace away, get him depressed, steal the joy out, bring anger, all the works of the flesh. No, in Jesus' name, it's not going to happen. We stand with him that his mind is not going to be wounded by this, that, Lord, he is an overcomer. We shared that tonight. He's an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, and loves not his life unto death. So he lives above this strife, Lord. There was money stolen and all damage to his vehicles and all of this, Lord. But it's not going to damage his heart, Lord. It's not, in Jesus' name. He is an overcomer. He's going to live as an overcomer. He's going to live in your love, your peace, your joy, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of this, he is going to defeat the devil by growing spiritually. He's going to grow more in love through this. He's going to grow into a deeper peace with you through this. He's going to come to new levels of joy with you in this. He's going to come to a new level of power with this. And Lord, this is, I believe he shared, it's also affected his wife. And Lord, I pray as Brother Vince grows as an overcomer in your love, your peace, your joy, and your power, this will carry over to his wife, and she also will grow in love and peace and joy and power. Deal with this man, Lord, according to your word, and I pray you would bring him out of Brother Vince's life as quick as possible, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John.
Okay.
Listen, I'll give you a call tomorrow. There's a ministry situation I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
So I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Okay? Yeah, if I'm not here, just leave a message. All right.
Will do.
All right. We are, we're out of time. I'm looking now, and wow, the time went. When this is a fast, fast night, and I thank everybody for coming. Remember, tomorrow night, and I'm going to do everything I can to have Facebook working. Again, my fault tonight, but it turned out to be a good night. So praise you, Lord, and we thank you. Bless everybody, and we'll see everybody tomorrow night. And I'm going to play that For God So Loved the World, the full. At the end here, I'll play the full song. I abbreviated it here for the opening. So I love this. The song you're hearing is from an album I have going back to like 1975. And we digitalized it. But I loved that song back then, and I haven't changed one bit, but I'm even growing to love it more. There's something about it that grips me. So here we go. The Liberated Wailing Wall, that's Jews for Jesus, For God So Loved the World, from John 3:16.
Whosoever believes in him shall
so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He came into the world and he dwelt among his own, but his own they would not receive. But power to Son.